Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's lovely to see you all, and some new faces. We're glad to see each one of you. I'm sure it has been stressed to you that we're beginning our 40th year as a school, and as I look on many here, I can remember your mommy or your daddy, or maybe even your mommy and your daddy, here in the school as pupils. I can remember them when they were as small as you, maybe even smaller. And we have much to thank the Lord for as we begin this 40th year. Now, we're still on the same subject as the parables that we were on last year. And I can see the clockwork in your brains beginning to stir as you try to remember some of the things that we looked at last year. Well, we're still on the parables, and we're at a new parable. We're turning to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We're coming near the end of the Savior's earthly ministry. And there's much opposition facing the Savior, of course. It's building, increasing, intensifying, and it will, of course, in the end, result in the Savior's crucifixion. Now we're looking at Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to read this parable right through, that's verses 1 through to 14. On this, our first study, so that it will be part of our study today, just to read the parable and see what it is the Savior says to us. Verse 1 then of Matthew chapter 22, "And Jesus answered and spake again unto them by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my oxen, and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Amen, and may the Lord bless the reading of his word to all our hearts today. Here we have a parable, and the Savior builds his instruction around the story of a king who is organizing a wedding feast for his son, and he is inviting many to that wedding feast. The first thing I want you to notice about this parable is who it is the Savior is speaking to. That's right there in the first verse. And Jesus answered and spake unto them, again, by parable. Always remember this, boys and girls, there is not one word in the Bible that is not important. I know when we're reading books, we oftentimes will skip over some of the sentences, some of the paragraphs. The author is sort of setting a background and painting a picture, and we sort of, oh, I know all about that, and then you read on down to where the exciting bit begins. Now, There are many who read the Bible like that, but that would be wrong. If you miss any verse, any word in any verse in the Bible, you are missing something important. And here we have the fact that this particular parable is addressed to a very particular people. Jesus answered, and spake again unto them. Now, if I was to ask you, who are them? Well, you could find the answer by just backpedaling a little bit and going into the verses that are found before this parable begins. Before verse 1, in other words, of Matthew chapter 22, the them that is referred to are those that we find spoken of just back two verses. Look at verse 45 of chapter 21. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. So the them of verse 1 is the them of verse 45. The Savior was speaking directly to the chief priests and the Pharisees, the leaders, the rulers, the important, religiously speaking, men in Jewish society of that day. That's the people to whom the Savior is here speaking, and it's important for us to note that. It's important for us to notice that. Because, you see, these men were not just rulers and leaders. And it's important for us to remember that even Jewish leaders and rulers and instructors and teachers, for that's the position they held, had to have the gospel explained to them. You see, the Jews in this day in which the Savior was living back 2,000 years ago, the Jews had departed from God, had departed from an understanding of the Scriptures, and their religious life was filled with all sorts of man-made rules and regulations, and they were going about in their religious life fulfilling these rules and regulations and living by them. But they really had no knowledge of the Word of God. It's a bit like today. In fact, it's more than a bit like today. It's absolutely the same as today. Because boys and girls out there are men and women who, on the Lord's Day, head off to church, and they're doing it because they think that by so doing, they will gain some merit, they will increase, as it were, their standing with God, because that's one of the rules that they have heard set forth to them. Go to church, be baptized, give money to the church and to various charities, be nice. These are the rules that men live by. But as to the gospel, they have no knowledge of it, really. They have no knowledge of it, really. They don't know that Jesus Christ said, ye must be born again. If you said that to them, they'd look at you blankly and say, what does that mean? What does it mean to be born again? Oh, how a people can, who have the greatest of privileges. These men had the greatest of privileges. They had in their hands the very Scriptures from which the Savior was preaching. For he had said, I am come not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. I'm going to preach what is written in the Scriptures. And these men had the Scriptures, but they were ignorant. You have the Bible. How much of it do you know? How much of it do you understand? When it comes to birthdays, and a nice, big, bright envelope is dropped by the postman, maybe more than one, through the letterbox, don't you hasten to open it and read it, see what's in it? Because usually there's some wee present in there. And follow what it says. You're interested in knowing what it says. God has written to you. God has written to you. Do you care to read what he has written? These men, they were supposed to be instructors in the law, but they didn't know anything about the law. All of the prophets had one subject. Peter tells us in Acts chapter 10, to him gave all the prophets witness. All of the prophets spoke about one person. The Bible, if I may put it like this, boys and girls, the Bible is a picture exhibition. When you open the door of the Bible and walk in at Genesis, and then go right through all the books of the Bible, it's like walking through a picture gallery, looking at
the wall, all the pictures are on.
Hundreds of them. All of the one subject. Every one of them, the one subject.
Not that every one of them looks exactly the same. You see, the prophets all spoke of the Lord Jesus. And they all, as it were, like an artist, drew a painting of him. But each one of them, brought out some particular aspect of the Savior's character. For instance, if you go to Isaiah 53, he paints a picture there of the Lord Jesus, the suffering Savior. The suffering Savior. And when you come to the Bible, that's what you should be looking for. And yet these men who had the Bible, didn't recognize the Savior. If they'd looked at the painting, the pictures in the Bible that the prophets drew, they would have recognized the Lord Jesus. Do you remember that holy man, that good man that we read of at the beginning of Luke's Gospel? And he came to the temple one day. His name was Simeon. You read about it in Luke chapter 2. He came to the temple one day and he saw Mary carrying a little baby. A little baby. But because this man loved the word of God, was led by the Spirit of God, he recognized the baby. He went over to Mary and they asked her, I'm sure he asked her, could I hold the baby? And he began to pray with a little baby in his arm. And he spoke to our Heavenly Father and he says, Lord, mine eyes have now seen thy salvation. I know who this is. I recognize, even though he is just a baby and has yet to grow into manhood, I recognize who it is. It's the Savior. But these men to whom Jesus is speaking didn't know the Savior. And you think of the miracles he wrought and the words that he spoke, all of which testified to his greatness, all of which marked him out as somebody extraordinary, doesn't really say enough. He was unique. There never was a man like him. Never was a person like the Lord Jesus. The miracles he wrought, no one had ever done it. The blind man in John 9, who knew nothing, he wasn't a saved man. And being blind, I'm sure his education must have been very limited. And yet, when he received his sight, and these, or at least some of the same class of people as the Savior is here talking to, these chief priests and Pharisees and whatnot, came to him and began to argue with him as to who had wrought this miracle, and tried to deny that a miracle had even taken place. And that blind man, ignorant and all as he may have been of any formal education, he says, well, this is a strange thing, he says. Who ever heard of a man born blind receiving his sight? Yet this man wrought a miracle. He's somebody special. That poor blind man recognized it, but these men don't. And the world today doesn't recognize just how wonderful and how special the Lord Jesus is. There's something else we have to recognize about these men. They're identified for us. And not only were they, verse 45 of chapter 21, the chief priests and Pharisees, but they were something even more than that. Look at the next verse. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they, the multitude, took him for a prophet. Verse 45 says, the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, and they perceived, they understood, that he spake of them, and they got angry. And they reached out to grab hold of him. And had they grabbed hold of him, it would have led on to his death. So angry were they with the Lord Jesus and the words that he spoke. Men don't like the gospel. You can still get attacked. Even here in Ulster, where probably there is a higher regard for the gospel than many places in the world. But you will still get attacked for preaching the gospel. It's not that long ago that the Free Presbyterian Church up in Protestant Antrim were hounded out of housing estates occupied, I'd say almost 100%, by Protestants. And they were hounded out by a so-called loyalist organization or members of a
so-called loyalist organization, a hatred for the gospel. And these men are filled with fury when they hear the Savior speaking. He's talking about us. It's like what the Reverend Paul Hanna told me recently when he held a protest against the playing of a rugby match on the Lord's Day up there in Belfast. And he was saying how the Bible paints us as sinners. A man came over, just passing by, he came over and he stood right in front of him and shouted into his face, "How dare you call me a sinner? I'm not a sinner. I was at my church today." So he's a church-going sinner. Reverend Hanna called us all sinners, because that's what the Bible says. But men don't like that. And what the Savior was saying, these men did not like. But the thing for us to notice this morning is this, boys and girls. Even though they were filled with fury, hated him, were ready to lay hands on him, and would have done so if it wasn't for the fact that the common people, the ordinary people, had some measure of admiration for the Lord Jesus, thought he was a special prophet, and therefore, if they had launched an attack upon the Savior, the common people would have intervened and maybe given them a bit of a hiding. So they couldn't do what they would have liked to have done on the Lord Jesus. The important thing for us to notice is that the Savior speaks to them again. That's how chapter 22 begins. "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again." He's speaking to you again. You know you're not saved. You know that you have refused the Savior. You have turned your back on him. On previous occasions when he drew near to you, put his back and he's talking to you again. Isn't he merciful? Isn't he kind? There's none of us, you know, if we were insulted by someone, we'd come to them and speak kindly and lovingly again. We'd turn our back on them. I'm having nothing to do with that person. They weren't nice to me. I'm just not going to have anything to do with them. I'll not be nice to them. That's the way we act, but not the way the Lord Jesus acts. He's here today, and he's speaking to you again, just like he spoke to these men again. Well, we'll look further when we come back with you at what it was he said, what it was he wanted to get across to them. How good it is to know his word. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, write your word on our hearts, I pray. Help us to understand thy kindness and love and mercy. And melt our hearts, Lord, as we contemplate these things. And any here not saved, Lord Jesus, may they recognize that in loving kindness, Jesus has come again to them. Rather than let them go on in their blindness and be lost forever, he has come again. Do speak, we pray, and write thy word upon our hearts today. And bless the school and undertake for it. We thank thee for your mercy throughout the years that have passed. And we look to thee, Lord, for more mercy in the years that lie ahead. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.